A group of organizations are asking the South Australian government to suspend the first model of a substance abuse treatment to consult more about it with the community. I spoke with Dr. Sarah Moulds from the University of South Australia about the issue and what these organizations would like to see happening. Could you please tell us a little bit more about the statement the Rights Resource Network South Australia and other organizations has signed regarding the mandatory youth treatment orders?
Last year, the South Australian Parliament passed legislation that would allow for orders to be made by a court to require young people to have treatment for drug and alcohol addiction. So this empowers the court to say, even though this young person doesn't consent or volunteer to have treatment, we can order that they be subject to drug and alcohol treatment through a court process. That's the law that was passed last year. At the time the law was being debated, a number of organisations raised some concerns about this model. And those concerns were not about the idea of making sure that people get help when they need it. In fact, many of the organisations were very keen to make sure that young people got effective help when they needed it. But the concerns were about the way that this regime coerces or makes mandatory treatment that someone doesn't choose to have themselves. And the concerns around it related to both the effectiveness of treatment when the person participating in the treatment doesn't want it, and also around the rights of that person to make decisions about their own body and their own treatment. Some of the designs of the legislation were also questioned at the time that it was passed, including how it would work in practice and how different bodies would be resourced to provide the treatment and the different supports that would be available to young people and their family to hopefully avoid the need to make these kind of orders. And what the statement we've issued this week is about is the first phase of implementing these orders. In particular, the concern is the first time we're going to see these orders put into practice is going to be at a facility that's holding young people in detention. So this is the Kalana Tapa Youth Justice Centre, where it holds young people in a place of detention, and this is where the youth treatment orders regime will be used the first time. So a combination of the things that were concerns before about the youth treatment orders regime, coupled with the setting for where it will be tried first, have led to a number of organisations raising human rights and other concerns with the approach.
All right, so what are the positives of this order and what are the negatives of it?
The youth treatment orders regime really came about to respond to very genuine and distressing calls from families of young people who did have serious drug and alcohol addiction problems, often coupled with other significant mental health problems. So there was a genuine need for families in distress to be able to help their young people, even if those young people were not themselves consenting to medical treatment. That's where the mandatory option of requiring the young person to undergo treatment came about. And so I think everyone that works in the space of looking after young people and thinking about drug and alcohol addiction really does understand how distressing and also very dangerous it can be to have a young person experiencing acute addiction problems and other mental health problems. I guess the question is this the right response to this? And in particular, will these orders be used as a matter of last resort after a lot of other effective things have been tried, or will they be used in different ways? These are some of the questions and concerns that come out of the regime. Also central to the issues that have been raised about this regime, or one of the negatives or challenges, is the concept of the child or the young person having the right to make decisions about their own body and their own treatment and having the right to be part of decisions that affect their lives and their well-being. So part of the statement is about thinking, how can we engage young people in the process of understanding how these laws will work, and how can we consult them to make sure that if they are going to be used, they're going to be effective? Because the the goal of the youth treatment orders is to help young people overcome addiction. I guess the concern is, will this model achieve that goal in the way that it's set out at the moment?
And what would you like to see implemented in South Australia about this regime for children?
The joint statement really urges the government to delay the commencement of the first phase of implementation until further consultation has occurred with young people, and in particular with young people that are at the Kalana Tapa Youth Justice Centre. So we have a guardian of children and young people, Penny Wright, who has written a report about the Kalana Tapa Youth Justice Centre that outlines all the positive things that the centre is doing to support young people and engage them in the process of rehabilitation and reintegration back into the community. But also that report really underscores that this youth justice centre really does need some different skills and different resources if it is also going to be the site for mandatory youth treatment orders. So that report has really underscored the fact that effective treatment for drug and alcohol addiction needs to be thought of carefully in a detention environment.
One of the concerns of this issue is that the issue is focused on the children as a problem and it's not addressing the family and the community. Could you please expand a little bit on the issue?
One of the learnings that comes out of research into effective treatment for mental health and drug and alcohol addiction for young people, and also the research that comes out of international organisations that are looking at children's rights, is this need to engage young people in every step of decision making about their lives and to assume a level of competency and consent as much as possible. So this means that the earlier government agencies and treatment providers can interact with families that might be at risk and children that might be at risk, the better.